Hello and welcome to the Wanted podcast. My name is Piwe Mpye. From the 24th to the 27th of July 2025, RX Africa will host 100% Design, Africa's finest international design fair. Held annually at the Sandton International Convention Center, the showcase sees a gathering of the cream of the interior and adjacent design industries, bringing together an array of domains from furniture and product design to technology and art. Wanted was there in 2024, collaborating on a booth with some of our friends in the industry. We spent the weekend meeting and chatting to our readers, crafters, and collaborators. The more formal conversations took the form of a series of recorded interviews with our partners. And over the next few months, as we build up to this year's fair, we will be sharing those conversations. We spoke to Belle Bellingham, then Executive Creative Director of Decorex and 100% Design, Greg Gamble and Philippe Van Merwe of Tonic Design, the artist Batuwani Mukeli and Zanele Khumalo, Associate Director at Kalashnikov Gallery. We posted Zanele's interview last month. You can listen to it right on this podcast. In this episode, we speak to the writer and former editor at Bellingham, who recently left her role as executive director at Decorex and 100% Design. She is now the brand and business director at Chomies, the handcrafted accessories brand for humans and pets. She spoke, among other things, about the transformative nature of design fairs, the convergence of art and design, the cult of design personality, and the future of African design. Enjoy.
I am Belle Bellingham. I'm the Executive Creative Director of 100% Design Africa and Decorex Africa. My relationship with design is a very positive one. It has been one of the most stably positive in my entire life. I fell truly, deeply, madly in love with art and creativity when I was little, but realized that I was not going to be myself an artist or a designer or an architect like I wanted to be. But because I love what other designers are able to do, that is where my passion is, that I would like to make them be better. So I think it's been my greatest saving grace, design. The greatest problem that design has solved for me is, you know, as humans, that kind of hole that we sometimes have in ourselves, that existential thing, design solved that. It has given me an incredible purpose in life that is outside of myself. Because I believe that it is an incredible tool for our country and our continent. So that's what drives me. It gets me up in the morning. The cult of personality in design is an interesting one because I think that there is for and against it. I think that we need courage as designers and creatives, and that requires a small amount of ego. I think that the ego has also got in the way of a lot of important things happening in design. And I think specifically in South Africa now, we have to get rid of the old gatekeepers who have been guarding the art world and the design world and the architecture world. So that's where it's a dangerous territory. And I think that we have an opportunity to redesign our industry and this the future of designers without that I guess, ego. The egoless future of design is about empathy. It is about connection. It's about understanding the responsibility of us as designers, as architects, as media, because we are cultural agents. The work we produce, is a beacon that can empower other people, other designers, and communities to shape a future that is, I guess, befitting of our continent and South Africa. Our history is very important. Our ancestors are very important. But going forward, we really need to take ownership of the narrative. The future of design in South Africa is buoyant because it has to be. It has to be a powerful force, a creative force, obviously, but that has got to contribute to our economy. It is no longer just a frivolous, rarefied concept that is relevant to 1% of the population. It has to be more accessible to a lot more people, in which case it will change a lot more lives and have a far greater impact. The mandate of design is to create solutions. So with COVID, we all had to pivot. We all had to be agile. We all need to be designing new solutions. And that's where design became a very useful discipline and tool. So I think that obviously we had to recalibrate as a design industry. It gave us a big fright. But it was also an incredible opportunity because we're well positioned as designers to create change. That is, again, that's our mandate. So the pandemic gave us all time to pause, to reevaluate, to look at what is actually meaningful. Specifically in our homes, we realized how important space is and the impact it has on our psyche, our emotional and our psychological well-being. So I think that there was a lot more importance placed on design and on more practical design as well, in terms of just think about how offices where we suddenly had like a stack of magazines for our desk and now suddenly we've realized we really like working at home. So there were a lot of solutions that have come out of that period that have been very forward-thinking but should have happened a long time ago. But I think this idea of responsibility and design is starting to have a very powerful relationship. Also, the relationship between design and business. Going into this new shiny, shiny future of design in this country, we have to tie to the bottom line. In order for it to be a sustainable career and or thing that we can pursue, it has to make business sense. No designer going forward can in any way carry on and be relevant in society without underpinning their work with an understanding that it has to be regenerative. It cannot do more harm. It cannot do less harm. It must do more good. So I think this idea that people are starting to pepper their sentences with the fact that it's sustainable or it's green, that's not enough. We have to be radically thinking in new ways and in ways that are not, that don't just meet the minimal, you know, minimum requirements. We have to be thinking at a different frequency, and our planet is going to go boom. So designers, artists, craftsmen, we all have a responsibility to embed that into everything we do. The relationship between art and design is very complicated and very simple. I think that it can be as blurry and scary as we want it to be. We create these spurious boundaries between them because we've had to. We've had to create artificial scarcity. Whereas I think that if they worked together in far many ways, we could have a far better outcome. So they've lived in separate worlds for good reason for a long time. But I think, again, if we started opening up the dialogue between art and design and adding to that science and technology, when those four disciplines start working together, I think we're going to hit the sweet spot and it's going to be quite dangerous. South Africa has a multitude of designers that are driving the vanguard at the moment. So it's very hard for me to pinpoint particular people. But in terms of trying to encapsulate some of the ideas that I think are very important going into the next 5 years of our industry, I will start with someone who's been operating for 15, 20 years, I don't even know how long, Adrian and Katie from Dr. and Mrs., because they continue to ruffle our feathers and to launch products and ideas that we don't see coming because they've gone and fetched the future. Aesthetically, they're pleasing. Functionally, they are extraordinary. But most importantly, for the last however long they've been practicing, they have put people, the people who are making their products and materials and systems at the foreground, which has made their, it's future-proofed their business, and it's created a blueprint for other designers to follow in their footprints. So aesthetically, they keep on knocking it out of the park, but it's more interesting what they're doing from a systems point of view. I would also look and encourage everyone to meet and chat to Matt Edwards from Big Circle. Matt is working with all the big brands in terms of sustainability and, but not from a lip service point of view. He's doing the hard work in material sciences. He's experimenting with every notchy peel and piece of seaweed and, you know, every kind of possible thing that we could be reimagining as a new material going forward. And he's making it super sexy. So it doesn't all look like muesli and Weet-Bix. It's really an aesthetic that is interesting. And he's also testing the functionality of these materials. So Matt, I really think, is doing good work. And then another designer is Wunders, which is an old 20, 30-year-old legacy upholstery brand that has now been taken over by a younger member of the family, who is using all of the knowledge and the expertise that the upholstery business has given her, but she's completely reinventing it. So again, she's using her business as a vehicle for change. She's looking at waste material. She's looking at aesthetics. She's looking at silhouettes. She's looking at collaborations. She's looking at how she can systematize everything. And again, it goes back to people and planet. She's finding ways how her staff can be treated better. And the output, the pieces that she is able to produce based on the system, are really, again, like pushing the boundaries in terms of aesthetics.
Remember to like, subscribe, share, and talk about the podcast so we can share our work with as many of you as possible. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Iono, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. We are at Wanted Online SA on the socials, and we update wantedonline.co.za daily. Till next time, goodbye.